Okay. So we are learning Sefer Shmuel, of course, and we didn't learn last week, but the week before, we learned about Shmuel's Musar Shmuz, or at least the beginning of Shmuel's Musar Shmuz to Shaul, after Shaul does not follow through on Hashem's commandment to wipe out Amalek, and you know, he wipes out most of Amalek, but as we know, Shaul allows Agag, the king of Amalek, to survive. He allows the tzon also, the sheep, the best of the sheep, to survive. And Shmuel, we learned last time, Shmuel really takes him to task for not following the words of Hashem, for not following through, not totally destroying Amalek the way he was supposed to. And we learned a very important Malbim 2 weeks ago when Shmuel says to Shaul in Pasuk Yud Tes, we're in Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Yud Tes, V'lama lo shamata, b'kol Hashem, why didn't you listen to the voice of Hashem? So the Malbim had an extremely important point, which we ended with, where he said that, you know, when it comes to human beings, when a human being, you know, tells us to do something, commands us to do something, so what's important is their purpose. We have to know what the purpose of their command is. And usually, as long as we fulfill the purpose, so the details of the command and exact, you know, all the pratim are not as important. You know, your boss gives you a project to do. As long as you get the job done, you know, even if you didn't do it exactly, maybe the way that he envisioned, but as long as you get the job done, that's good enough. You know, he wants the job done. He wants the purpose fulfilled. But when it comes to the Ribono Shel Olam, so says the Malbim, explaining the pasuk and Shmuel's rebuke, that's not the case. You can't think that you know Hashem's purpose. We never know exactly what Hashem has in mind. And therefore, we have to follow through on exactly what Hashem commands of us, including all the details. And if we mess up on some of the details, we're really messing up. We can't just think that we know what Hashem's plan is or what Hashem's purpose is. So that was an important point. And that was the last thing that we learned last time with Shmuel's Moser to show. Okay, so we're picking up with Pasuk Chaf. And we're going to learn Mirtz Hashem tonight till the end of the Perek. I think that we did this Perek in three Shiurim. It's a longer Perek, an important Perek. But so the Mirtz Hashem tonight will finish. So Pasuk Chaf, Shaul responds. Okay, now Shaul just, again, did not follow through exactly on Hashem's command. And he kept Agag and the Tzon alive. Shmuel takes him to task. And here's Shaul's response. Vayomer Shaul el Shmuel. So Shaul responds to Shmuel. What does he say? Does he say Chatasi? Does he say I'm sorry? No. Asher Shamati b'kol Hashem. I did listen to Hashem. He gets defensive. He defends himself. Va'eleich baderech Asher shalachani Hashem. I went in the way that Hashem commanded me. Va'avies Agag melech Amalek ves Amalek echeramti. I brought Agag here, and I killed out the rest of Amalek. So in a sense, he's defending himself. And again, like we said from the Malbim, he's saying, I fulfilled the purpose of Hashem's commandment. Hashem's commandment was to destroy Amalek. I destroyed Amalek. Agag, you know, this one person that I kept alive, the king. Okay, I kept him alive. Number one, says the Radak, Va'avies Agag melech Amalek. I brought him here. We could still kill him. He's in captivity. It's not like I set him free. It's not like I let him loose, right? I brought him here. I brought him. I took him captive. So, you know, we can still kill him. You know, we can still do it. And Shamati, I did listen to Hashem. What did I do wrong? You know, so the first reaction of Shaul is to get defensive. Now, we all know that this is not a good idea, right? Especially if Kadosh Baruch was giving you Musar through the Navi. The Navi is giving you Musar. Right, to get defensive is not the right idea. It's not the right thing to do. And of course, the Navi is right, and of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right. And in the end, Shaul is the one who did make a mistake. But this is his first reaction that he gets defensive. And not only does he get defensive about what he did, but he also deflects the blame. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayikach Ha'am Mehashalal Tzonu Vakar Reishis Hacherim. He says the nation took the Tzonu Vakar. The nation took the animals. It wasn't me. It was the nation. And even if you want to say that they were wrong for taking it, lizbach l'Hashem Elokecha b'Gilgal, but they had good intentions. They were doing it for a good reason. They wanted to bring korbanos. They wanted to bring zvachim. They wanted to bring sacrifices to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not such a big deal, right? Number one, I didn't sin. It was the nation. And number two, even if you want to say that they did something wrong, but they had good intentions, they were trying to bring karbanos. It was for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reishis Acherim, the Mefarshim discuss, you know, what exactly does that mean? Reishis Acherim, Rashi says Reishis Acherim means the best of the Cherim. The Targum Yonasan says Reishis means it was before it became Cherim, meaning they took it before the oath, before there was an oath not to touch any of the spoils or any of the animals. That's when Bnei Yisrael took it. Okay, but be it as it may, he was definitely getting defensive here and definitely deflecting the blame. Now, Shmuel, you know, hears this, and of course, Shmuel is not very happy. Pasuk Chaf Beis, Vayomer Shmuel, Hachefetz LaHashem Ba'olos Uzvachim, Ki Shmoa B'kol Hashem? Asks Shmuel, and these are famous words, does Hashem want your Olos Uzvachim the way that he wants you to listen to him? He doesn't want your gifts. He doesn't want your presence. He wants you to listen to him. Hinei Shmoa Mizevach Tov. Listening is much better than bringing a good karban. Lahakshiv mechelav elim. And again, paying attention to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us is better than karbanos. You think of a mashal. It's like, you know, you do something wrong to someone and then you can buy them a present, right? You know, I make my wife angry, I buy her a present, right? So, you know, of course she appreciates the present, but, you know, don't make me angry in the first place. Well, I don't need your presents. You know, don't do something wrong in the first place. So here too, it's like, you know, Shaul is saying, oh, we're trying to bring karbanos. Shmuel says, that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't want your karbanos now. Hashem wants you to listen to him. Hashem wants you to pay attention to what he tells you. Hashem wants you to do the mitzvos and to stay away from my favorites. He doesn't want your presence. He doesn't want your karbanos. Karbanos are good in the right time, at the right place, right? It's a good way to do avoda. It's a good, good way to connect to Hashem. But not just, you know, you can't just say, I'm bringing karbanos, and, you know, that justifies everything. You know, sometimes, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, in our community, we have so many people who do so much good. They support Torah, they support shuls and yeshivos and everything. And Baruch Hashem, in our community, you have people who listen to Hashem also. You know, sometimes you have people who, you know, they support all these good things, but they don't listen to Hashem. You know, it's like the same thing. You know, you can't just throw your money around. You can't just, you know, give gifts. You can't just do that and everything is okay. You have to do what Hashem wants, right? You have to do what Hashem wants also. The Malbim, of course, in his textual analysis, as he always does, he picks up on the fact that here the pasuk uses the word hachefetz. Hachefetz la'Hashem ba'olos uzvachim. So the Malbim says, what's the difference between chefetz? Chefetz means desire. What's the difference between chefetz and ratzon? Usually we would say ratzon, yihi ratzon milfanecha, right? It should be your will, Hashem. So why, how come, you know, usually we say ratzon and here we say chefetz? So the Malbim says that that the difference is chefetz is a natural desire for something. Ratzon is an intellectual recognition that something is good for me. I should have this, you know, I really should do this, but it's not what I want, right? So a person is on a certain diet. So, you know, they might want the fat steak, the fatty steak. That's what they want. But that's not necessarily what their diet is demanding, French fries, right? I want the French fries. You know, that's my chefetz, my ratzon. I know that I shouldn't really have the French fries. I should really have, you know, some string beans, you know, that are roasted. That's what I really should have. It's more healthy. I know that. But my desire, what I really want is those delicious French fries. So says the Malbim, that's chefetz, the desire, the natural desire is chefetz. Ratzon is the intellectual recognition. What's Hashem's chefetz? And what's Hashem's ratzon? So says the Malbim, that Hashem's ratzon is korbanos. Korbanos are ratzon Hashem. Okay, but what does that mean? Now Hashem doesn't have any intellectual recognition of what's right, but that's something that Hashem dictated to us, that this is a way to connect to me. This is a way to do avoda, korbanos. But there's nothing significant in and of themselves. Korbanos are not significant in and of themselves. If Hashem had not told us to bring korbanos, so then we would not bring korbanos. There's nothing inherent about bringing a korban. It's only because Hashem said, this is a good way to connect to me. This is a good way to do it, to do my avoda. Says the Malbim, that's ratzon. That's like an intellectual recognition. This is the right thing to do. But Hashem's chefetz is that people should listen to him. Hashem's chefetz is that we should be avodim to the melech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech malchei amlochim. So that's Hashem's desire. Hashem's desire is that we should be his subjects. He's our king and we should be his subjects. That means we should listen to him. We should follow his commandments. We should stay away from the things he tells us to stay away from. That's Hashem's chefetz. So that's what the pasuk is saying. Ha-chefetz la-Hashem ba-olot suzvachim. Kishmoa b'kol Hashem. Does Hashem, Hashem has no chefetz for olot suzvachim. The olot and zvachim, korbanos, they're not meaningful inherently. There's nothing inherently meaningful about them. If Hashem doesn't want them, then they're not the right thing to do. They're only right because Hashem says they're right. So if it's not a good time to do it, then they lose all meaning. They lose all meaning. Listening to Hashem, that's inherently meaningful. That's something that's the chefetz of Hashem. Hashem wants that. Hashem desires that. That's the foundation of our connection with Hashem, of our relationship with Hashem. So says the Malbim, it's not just that korbanos is not a good excuse. You've defeated the whole purpose of korbanos. It's not just that Hashem doesn't want your korbanos now because you made him angry, right? The mashal I gave with my wife, you know, it's not really a great mashal, says the Malbim, because it's not just that korbanos are not a good excuse. This is not what korbanos are about. Your korbanos will be meaningless here, meaningless, right? You know, you give your wife a diamond bracelet. It's going to be meaningful no matter what, whether you made her angry or not. But here, the point is, you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu korbanos. If he doesn't want them, they're meaningless. Korbanos are only meaningful in the context of the Ratzon Hashem, in the context of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. And now Shmuel is laying it on thick to Shaul. Ki chatas kesem meri. Rebelling against Hashem, that's like a sin of sorcery. Kesem, right? Like samim. It's a sin of sorcery. The oven usrafim haftzar. Again, not listening to Hashem. You know, rebelling against Hashem, pushing back against Hashem. That's like idol worship. It's like idolatry. Ya'an, and these are very strong words that Shmuel uses, and he's going to use them again in a few psukim. Ya'an ma'asta es devar Hashem, vayim oscha mimelech. Shmuel says to Shaul, because you despised, a very strong word, right? Lim'os is a strong word, ma'os, mius, because you despised the words of Hashem, the commands of Hashem, vayim oscha mimelech, Hashem despises you as king. Hashem despises you as king. Now, what's this connection between the sorcery and what's going on here? I mean, Shaul is not doing any sorcery here. So the Radak explains that when a person involves themselves in sorcery, black magic, and things like that, which, you know, we do recognize that there are some kochos hatuma out there. There are some, evil forces, so to speak, that are not necessarily, the kochos of kedusha. You know, nowadays we don't really know how to do these things. But people like, Bilam in the Torah and others, they knew how to do these things. They knew how to tap into these kochos hatuma. So when a person involves themselves in these kind of things, essentially what you're doing is that you're removing your trust from Hashem. You're saying, I don't trust Hashem. I don't trust Hashem and have the bitachon in Hashem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to run my world and going to do everything that needs to be done. And therefore, I'm placing my trust in sorcery. I want to find out from them, what's going to happen. So rebelling against Hashem is the same thing. You're rebelling against Hashem. You're saying, you're almost like denying Hashem's existence. You're denying Hashem's ability to do good or bad. It's the same thing. It's almost the same thing, says the Radak, like the Pasuk implies as Avodah Zarah, right? You're ignoring Hashem. You're removing Hashem from the picture. And you're saying that other things are more important, right? Besides for the command of Hashem. You're not having bitachon. The Mitzudas David said also that the comparison to idols is that just like idols are essentially full of hot air, right? You have all these getchkes and the idols made of wood or made of metals and things like that. They're meaningless. They're full of hot air. They're not going to do anything. They can't accomplish anything. So too your excuses. Your speech right now, says Shmuel, you're full of hot air. Your excuses are meaningless. There's no meaning behind them. The Malbim adds one layer, of course, and the Malbim says that when a person engages in sorcery, essentially he's showing that he's not okay with Hashem and his Nevi'im. Right? The Torah tells us, Tamim Tiyayim Hashem Elokecha. We're supposed to be simple. We're supposed to follow Hashem simply. Right? We're supposed to follow Hashem. We're supposed to follow the Nevi'im. That's what we're supposed to do. So when a person begins to engage in sorcery, you begin to engage in these other forces and other spirits and kochos hatuma, you're not being tamim, you're not being simple, you're not just following HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way that you're supposed to. You're arguing with a Navi. So you're arguing with a Navi, right? The Navi's telling you you did something wrong. Shaul is now pushing back. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm fine. Shamati. I listened to Hashem. It's the same thing as sorcery, right? It's the same thing as sorcery. You're not following Hashem and his Nevi'im in the right way. And in fact, says the Malbim, this connects to the second part of the Pasuk. Why? Because your sin is even greater because you're in denial. You're not admitting that you sinned. You're not saying, I'm sorry. You're not saying, Chatasi. You're saying, Shamati. I didn't do anything. The nation, Ha'am, they're the ones who spared the tzon. You're deflecting blame. You're denying, you know, any type of culpability here. So therefore, what you're doing is even worse. And says the Malbim, that's why you're going to lose your melucha. Vayimoscha mimelech. Vayimoscha mimelech. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu despises you from being the king. If this is how you act, and not only this is how you act, but this is how you react when the Nevi Hashem, when the greatest Navi of the generation gives you Musar, this is how you react? You defend yourself? You deflect the blame to the people? Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Vayomer Shaul el Shmuel Chatasi. So Shaul gets the message. Right? After trying to defend himself, and Shmuel then gives him a little, you know, verbal patch. So then Shaul gets the message, and he says, Chatasi. You're right. I made a mistake. Ki avarti espi Hashem, number one, I violated Hashem's word. I did not follow Hashem. And not only that, but ves devarecha. And I also violated your words. I didn't follow what you said. And now he throws in, ki yareisi es ha'am vo'esh mabekolo. You see, he can't fully admit the blame. You know, so he says, chatasi, avarti espi Hashem ves devarecha. Right, I violated Hashem's words and your words, but then he gives an excuse. Ki yareisi es ha'am vo'esh mabekolo, because I was afraid of the people. I was afraid of the people. And so says the Malbim, you know, finally he's recognizing his sin. Finally he's admitting to his sin, but still he tries to justify it. He tries to place the blame on the nation. You know, he feared the nation. Some of the Mefarshim struggle with what's the es devarecha. Now, it's one thing to say, avarti es pi Hashem. I violated Hashem's wishes, right? Hashem's commandment was to destroy Amalek. So I violated that. But what's the es devarecha? What did he violate that was Shmuel's commandment? So the Metzudas David says that, I'm sorry, the Radak says that Shmuel was the one who commanded him in the name of Hashem. Right? Shmuel told him in the name of Hashem that this is what you should do. You should get rid of Amalek, destroy everyone. So it was the command of Hashem, but it was through Shmuel. So maybe that's the ve'es devarecha. The Metzudas David says that the ve'es devarecha is referring to the rebuke, right? The rebuke that Shmuel gave him, that he did not listen to Hashem. So Shaul now realizes, you know, I shouldn't have been defensive. I should not have defended myself. I should have, you know, when you gave me that rebuke the first time and you gave me the Musa the first time, I should have said Chatasi right away. So that's how the Metzudas David understands the ve'es devarecha. You know, what makes it even more strange that in the very next line he says ki yareisi es ha'am vo'esh mabekolo, that he's still not ready to admit full blame and full guilt. So now Shaul now pleads with Shmuel. Pasuk Chaf Hei, ve'ata sana es chatasi v'shuv imi ve'eshtacha ve'lashem. So he says, you know, he's pleading with him, please now, you know, once I admitted to my sin, sana es chatasi, I'm asking you to be mochel me. Right? I violated your words as the Navi. Maybe according to the Metzudas David, I didn't take your rebuke seriously because I tried to defend myself. So please, I'm asking you mechila. Right? Sona es chatosi. Carry my sin. I'm asking you mechila. And then v'shuv imi v'eshtacha v'lashem, that please come with me as I ask Hashem for mechila also. I'm going to go bow down to Hashem. That means I'm going to daven to Hashem. I'm going to ask Hashem for mechila. So please come with me and enable me to ask Hashem for mechila. And the Malbim says, you know, he still has this excuse that I was an onus. It was out of my control. I was yarei es ha'am, as he said in Pasuk Chaf Dalet. And I was still afraid of the people and what they might do. You know, I couldn't say no. So, you know, he still had this excuse that it was out of his control. But again, here he's asking Shmuel for his forgiveness, and he's asking Hashem, and he's asking Shmuel, I'm sorry, to accompany him to help him ask Hashem for forgiveness. Pasuk Chaf Vav. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul lo ashuv imach. So Shmuel says, I'm sorry, I'm not coming with you. Kimo asta es devar Hashem. It's too late. You already despise the word of Hashem, as right the same language as we had in Pasuk Chav Gimel. And the question why exactly he's repeating it, you know, maybe he's repeating it because, you know, Shaul wants him to come. So Shmuel's saying, I really can't come because ma'asta es devar Hashem. And then, vayimascha Hashem hiyos melech al Yisrael. And again, right, Hashem despises you at this point. He doesn't want you to be the king anymore. And says in Mitzudas David, if Hashem despises you, I can't accompany you. I can't come with you now. It's not, you know, your tshuva is not gonna really work, you know, right now. Why here? You know, it's interesting. You need the Malbim to pick this up because you know we don't read it so carefully. But here the pasuk concludes in pasuk Chavav, Vayimascha Hashem mihiyos melech al Yisrael, that Hashem has despised you from being the king of Yisrael. Right, that's the language in Pasuk Chavav. If you look back at Pasuk Chav Gimel, what was the language? Similar, but a little bit different. It says, Vayim Oscha Mimelech. Vayim Oscha Mimelech. So what's the difference? Why in Pasuk Chav Gimel did Shmuel say, Vayim Oscha Mimelech, that Hashem despises you from being the king? And here he says, Vayim Oscha Mihios Melech Al Yisrael. So says the Malbim, that because you despised the words of Hashem and you rebelled and you didn't listen to what Hashem says, so therefore you really are unfit to be a king at all. Whether it's a king of Bnei Yisrael or a king of the nations of the world, it doesn't matter. You're not really fit to be any king. Right? If you're Moes Estevar Hashem, if you despise the words of Hashem. And to counter your claim, you're claiming that you were an onus, you're claiming that it was out of your control because ki yoresi es ha'am, because I was afraid of the nation. Well, if you're afraid of the nation, you cannot be the king of Bnei Yisrael. Vayimascha Hashem Yos Melech Al Yisrael is specifically countering that claim. You want to claim you're an onus? You want to claim that you were afraid of the people and that's why you couldn't do it? Mm-mm. A king who's afraid of the people, you can't be the king. You can't be the king of Bnei Yisrael. Right? You're going to end up ignoring Hashem's commandments, as he did, as Shaul did. So that's why Pasuk Chav Gimel is referring to just Shaul being king Bichlal in general. You're unfit to be king if you despise the words of Hashem. And now you want to counter and say you were an anus. It was out of your control because you were afraid of the people. No, that kind of a person cannot be the king of Bnei Yisrael. Ayisov Shmuel Pasuk Chav Zayin Laleches. Shmuel turns to go. Right? He tells Shaul, I'm not coming with you. I'm not accompanying you. So he turns to go. Okay, now it's a question how to read this in the Mefarshim and in Chazal, really. Pashupshat in the Pasuk, which is what Rashi explains, Pashupshat in the Pasuk is that as Shmuel is turning to leave, Shaul grabs his coat to try to, you know, to try to hold on to him, to try to persuade him, please, you know, stay here, come with me. And his coat rips, and Shmuel's coat rips. That's the Pashupshat. That's a pasuk shot. However, the Rashi does bring a medrash in Chazal that have two opinions, and some say that that Shaul ripped Shmuel's coat. However, there's another opinion that says that vayachazek bichnaf miilo vayikara, that Shmuel held on to Shaul's coat. Shmuel ripped Shaul's coat. Okay, the opposite of what we would think the pasuk shot is. And again, the pasuk is ambiguous. It's just, you know, there are no pronouns here. It just says, and well, I guess there are pronouns. He says, and he, but we don't know who the he is referring to. We don't know who it's referring to. So that's the question. Now, according to that opinion, why is Shmuel, right? According to the pasuk, shall we understand? Shmuel's turning around, so Shaul grabs his coat and his coat rips. But according maybe, to the other opinion, yeah?
Maybe it's like he's in mourning. Like Kriya.
Okay. So what you're saying is like the Radak. The Radak says that Vayachazek Vichnaf Me'ilo, that Shmuel tore his own coat. That's the Radak's pshat. That Shmuel tore his own coat. Why? Out of mourning that his appointment here failed. He appointed Shaul to be the king. He was the one who made Shaul to be the king, and it was a total failure. So he's tearing, according to the Radak, Shmuel is tearing, or it's, I think the Radak brings, you know, three different interpretations. This is one of them. But the Radak says Shmuel is tearing his own coat as a sign of mourning and a sign of failure, you know, at the part of Shaul. And the Radak says that Tzadikim used to do this a lot. Whenever they would do something and it wouldn't go well, it would fail, they would tear their clothing, you know, as a sign of mourning. But if you understand that Shmuel is tearing Shaul's coat, so what's the reasoning behind that? What's the symbolism behind that? So the way that that Rashi explains it, and again, it's an opinion in the Medrash, an opinion in Chazal, is that really this was a siman, this was a sign that whoever is going to rip your coat is going to be the next king. And this is an allusion to something that happens in Perek Chaf Dalet, which we'll get to Mirtz Hashem in several prakim. But Perek Chaf Dalet, so there's this the whole story of Shaul and David HaMelech, or David at the time, he's not the king yet, but Shaul's chasing David, trying to kill him, and Shaul ends up in a cave, and David is hiding in the cave. And David, this is Perek Chaf Dalet in Pasuk Dalet, that David actually quietly rips Shaul's coat. And then later, David comes out holding the piece of Shaul's coat, and he says, look how close I was to you, and I didn't kill you. You see that I don't want to kill you. You see, I have no intention to kill you. I don't have any sinister intentions, right? If I wanted to kill you, I could have. So that's a simon. And then Pasuk, and what does Shaul say in Pasuk Chaf over there in Perek Chaf Dalet? Shaul says, Ve'ata hine yadati ki maloch timloch. So Shaul looks at David and he says, now I know that you're going to be the king. Says Rashi, what do you mean, now I know that you're going to be the king? Because Shmuel gave him this siman. When Shmuel tore his coat now, according to that opinion, Shmuel was giving him a siman, whoever tears your coat is going to be the next king. So David, in that context, tears Shaul's coat, Ve'ata hine yadati ki maloch timloch. Shaul says, I know you're going to be the king. I know you're going to be the next king. So the three opinions as to who's tearing whose coat, either Shaul tears Shmuel's coat as he's turning to go, Shmuel tears Shaul's coat as a sign of things to come, or Shmuel tears his own coat as a sign of mourning and a sign of failure here. Okay, Pasuk Chaf Ches, I'm sorry. Yomar Elav Shmuel. So Shmuel says to him, you know, however you understand what the who tore whose coat, but Shmuel now says to him, Kara Hashem es mamluchus Yisrael me'alecha hayom, that Hashem has today torn the melucha, torn the kingdom of Klal Yisrael from you today. Unesana l'reacha hatov mimecha, and he gave it to your friend, who's better than you, right? Now David wasn't really his friend, but certainly, I mean, right now they didn't even know each other, but he gave it to your friend, meaning someone who's similar to you, similar in stature. That's reacha, not literally your friend, but someone who's better than you, because you're making mistakes here. And this David HaMelech, he might make some mistakes, as Aaron alluded to earlier. He might make some mistakes, but not the same type of mistakes that you're going to make. Now, the Radak raises an interesting question here that, you know, didn't Shmuel already tell Shaul that he was going to lose the Malucha? In fact, if you look back at Perek Yud Gimel, we're in Perek Tesvav, so this is two Prakim ago. But if you look back in Perek Yud Gimel, so if you remember, Shmuel told Shaul to wait for him in Gilgal, and Shaul did not wait. And he ended up starting the process of bringing korbanos, and then Shmuel comes and says to Shaul, what's going on over here? I told you to wait. How come you didn't wait for me? Right? He didn't go out to battle, but he started the process of bringing the korbanos. And Shmuel, if you remember at the time, gave him Musar for not waiting. That was the first time that Shaul made a mistake. And over there in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Dalid, Shmuel tells Shaul, V'ata mamlachtecha lo sakum, your kingdom is not going to last. So he tells him already two prakim ago that your kingdom is not going to last. So what's going on? How come, you know, two prakim ago already Shmuel told Shaul that his kingdom is not going to last. So what's he adding here? Kara Hashem es mamlachus Yisrael me'alecha hayom. What's he adding with this? So the Radak gives a couple of different possibilities. One, he says, is that, you know, for that sin alone in Perek Yud Gimel, where Shaul did not wait for Shmuel, he was supposed to wait and he did not wait and he went ahead and he started bringing korbanos without Shmuel, that could have been forgiven with tshuva and masim tovim, right? Had Shaul done tshuva and Shaul, you know, started to do masim tovim, that, or not started, but continued doing masim tovim, that would have forgiven the sin. However, this sin of not completely destroying Amalek, keeping Agag alive, keeping the Tzon alive, that's a repetition of the same sin, of not listening to Hashem, not listening to the Navi. A repetition of the same sin, that's too much. Now Shaul, you know, dug his grave, so to speak. He's in too deep, and there's no way for him to now do tshuva. And that's why Shmuel now says, "Kara Hashem es mamluchus Yisrael me'alecha hayom." You just sealed the deal, right? With this last sin that you just did, you just sealed the deal. That's one possibility, says the Radak. Another possibility is that maybe in Perek Yud Gimel, all Shmuel meant when he said "mamlachtecha lo sakum" is that your descendants will not take over for you. Your descendants will not take over for you. They will not take over as the Melech Yisrael. But your Melucha, you'll be a king for a long time, right? Your Melucha can last for a very long time. Just, you know, when you're done, your kids won't take over. It'll go to someone else. Now, Kara Hashem es Mamluchus Yisrael me'alecha hayom, now you're done. Now even your Melucha is not going to last a long time, right? Now this is the Gemar Din, so to speak. This is the end of the judgment for you. And he says, if you look at the later in Perek Chaf Ches, you see a language like that in the Psukim also, that this was the Gemar Din. The fact that Shaul did not listen to wipe out Amalek and to kill Agag, that was the Gemar Din, that was the finale, that was the final sign. Now the Malbim focuses interestingly here on bad Nevuah and good Nevuah. So he quotes the Ramban, but there are others I think that say this as well. I think maybe even the Ramban might even say this, that if a Navi gives a Nevuah that's negative, right, a bad Nevuah, you know, not a good Nevuah, so that can change. If we do Tshuva, if we do Masim Tovim, that bad Nevuah can change. A good Nevuah, we say, cannot change. Once a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a good Nevuah through a Navi, it's definitely going to come true. It's not going to change. There's no way for that to change. However, says the Malbim, there's one exception to a bad Nevuah, that even a bad Nevuah can change. What is that? When the bad Nevuah is accompanied by some sort of action, by some sort of event that happens at the time of the Nevuah, so that concretizes the Nevuah, shows that the Nevuah is already coming true, shows its permanence, and then even a bad Nevuah can't be chozer, even a bad Nevuah can't be retracted. And therefore, says the Malbim, the fact that he's going with the approach that Shmuel tore Shaul's garment, that once Shmuel tore Shaul's garment, so that shows like a finale. That shows a finale. The truth is, now that I'm thinking about it, it could be that he can work with either approach. You know, whoever tore whoever's garment, but either approach it might work. But that event that it happened at the same time as this Nevuah is taking place, that shows a finality and a permanence to the Nevuah, that this Nevuah that Shaul's going to lose the Melucha is not going to be chozer. That we're not going to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to retract on it. And that's why it says Hayom. Because today, Shaul sealed the deal. In the past, he could have done it. He could have done away with it. But today, he sealed the deal. Also, the good Nevuah that it was going to David, right? There was a good Nevuah here that David HaMelech was going to be the king. For David, that's a good Nevuah. So that Nevuah also can change. So as of today, David HaMelech is being designated as the future Melech Yisrael. And Shaul, the bad Nevuah that Shaul is going to lose his Melucha, is accompanied by an event. So says the Malbim, that's why it's totally sealed. That's why it's completely permanent now, because it's a bad Nevuah accompanied by an event. It's a good Nevuah for David. There's no going back. Shaul is going to lose his Melucha, and David will take over. Pasuk Chavtes. V'gam netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Famous words, famous pasuk. V'gam netzach Yisrael lo yishaker v'lo yinachem ki lo adam hu lihinachem. So the question is, what exactly does this mean, these words? Netzach Yisrael literally means the eternity of Yisrael. Lo yishaker, will not lie. V'lo yinachem, and won't regret. Ki lo adam hu lihinachem, because he's not a man who regrets his actions. So different interpretations here in the Mefarshim, what exactly this means, Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. So Rashi understands, although you can still do tshuva, it's not going to help to regain the Melucha. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Netzach Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who always secures the victories, the Nitzachon, for Bnei Yisrael. And he's, of course, the cause for Bnei Yisrael's everlasting survival. So Hashem is the Netzach Yisrael. Hashem is lo yishaker. Hashem can't lie. So Hashem already said he's taking the melucha away from you. He's giving it to David HaMelech, and that's it. He's giving it to David, and that's it. So, you know, it's not, you can't go back. Even if you do tshuva now, says Rashi, V'gam netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Kadosh Baruch Hu can't go back on what he said. So he already made the decree, and that's it. You're done. You lost the melucha. The Radak understands that Netzach Yisrael is not a reference to Hashem, but is a reference to literally the eternity of Klal Yisrael. And the Radak says, listen, don't be worried, Shaul. You messed up, but don't be worried about the Netzach Yisrael. Don't be worried about the eternity of Klal Yisrael. Just because you lost your melucha and now something negative is happening to you, that's not going to affect the good that's designated for Bnei Yisrael. That's not going to affect all that's coming to Bnei Yisrael. Lo Yishaker, Hashem is not going to lie about that. Hashem promised Klal Yisrael good things. Hashem promised Klal Yisrael eternal survival. Nothing's going to happen, right? That will definitely happen. Now, what's the Malbim understands the words Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker, that since Hashem is Nitzchi, since Hashem is eternal, so therefore there can't be any change in what Hashem does. Hashem is eternal. And this also touches on the next words, V'lo Yinache. V'lo Yinache. What's V'lo Yinache? V'lo Yinache means there's no regret, right? So the Radak explains this nicely. Now he says, when a person gets angry, a person says something out of anger. Right? A person gets angry at someone and says, you know, I'm never going to invite you to my house again. You know, I'm never going to talk to you again. Whatever the person might say. So once the anger subsides, the person might regret the comment, right? That's part of the problem with emailing and texting these days, right? Is that people sometimes fire off a text or fire off an email while they're angry. You can't take those back so quickly, right? So here, you know, you say something when you're angry, boom, you said it. So now, you know, later you cooled off and your anger subsides. You regret having said that. You regret the decision. You regret whatever action you may have taken. But says the Radak and says the Malbim, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no such thing. Right? When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every promise that Hashem makes comes true. Hashem doesn't make promises out of anger, and then the anger subsides, and Hashem regrets what he did. V'lo yinachem, Hashem is not going to regret what he did. Sometimes Hashem has to punish someone, so sometimes some things will be delayed while Hashem punishes them, but that's it. Once the punishment is over, then the good will resume. Says the Radak, Shaul was never promised an everlasting melucha. If you remember in the beginning, Shaul was appointed, and even the language that Shmuel used in the beginning, he called him a nagid instead of a melech, a ruler. And the Mefarshim said at the time, when we learned it, that he's calling him a nagid because it's not going to be an everlasting melucha. So Shaul was never promised an everlasting melucha. However, it could have happened, said the Radak. If Shaul had not sinned, it could have happened. He could have had this everlasting melucha. He could have done it had he not sinned. But David HaMelech was promised an everlasting melucha. So therefore, even if some of David HaMelech's descendants might lose the melucha, which happens over the course of Jewish history, some of David HaMelech's descendants do lose the melucha, but that's because of sin. And that's because they're being punished. But it will always be reinstated. It's always going to go back to the lineage of David HaMelech. By Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker v'lo yinachem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, once it's a promise, it's always going to come true. Yeah, Hashem might have to put it on hold for a little bit while he punishes someone, fine. But it'll be reinstated. It's going to come true. The Mitzudas David also says Hashem can't regret something. Why? Because regret is based on certain factors, but when those factors change, a person regrets. Hashem doesn't have any of those factors. Hashem doesn't never changes his decision. Everything is always there at all times. The only thing that's changing here is Shaul's actions. Right, but from the mitzvah of Kadosh Baruch Hu, from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, nothing is changing. Just as an aside, there's a name, a Jewish name, a Hebrew name, Neeli. There are some some women. I think it's a female name that are named Neeli. I had a friend when I lived in Baltimore. I had a friend who named his daughter Neeli. So the name Neeli comes from this pasuk, Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker, Nun Yud Lamed Yud. Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker. That's where the name Neeli comes from. It's an allusion to this pasuk. Many understand it also that, you know, in the way that the Radak said it at first, that the eternity of Bnei Yisrael will always be there, right? That, you know, Klal Yisrael is always going to be around, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always going to help us, and that's a beautiful, certainly a beautiful symbolism behind the name. Okay, pasuk Lamed. Vayomer chatasi ata. So he says, I'm sorry. Shaul says, you're right. I sinned. Chatasi. Ata kabdeni na neged ziknei ami, the neged Yisrael. He says, but at least, you know, Shmuel, do me a favor. at least give me a little honor. Give me a little kavod. You know, I know I sinned. I know I messed up. I know you're not going to accompany me, but at least give me a little honor. At least accompany me. I know you can't accompany me to ask Hashem for mechila because we're beyond that. Hashem is not going to be mochel me. But at least accompany me just to give me a little cover. You know, I'm going back to Klal Yisrael. I don't want people to see, you know, that show that you stormed off and I'm coming back now empty-handed. I'm coming back alone. You know, it's a bizarre, it's a busha for me. At least come, at least show me a little cover. Show me a little honor. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayoshov Shmuel Acharei Shaul. So he doesn't do it. Shmuel doesn't go with him. Shmuel turns around and he walks away from Shaul, right? Shaul brought this disgrace upon himself. Vayishtachu Shaul Hashem. Shaul alone bows down towards Hashem. Lamed Beis, Vayomer Shmuel Hagishu Elias Agag Melech Amolek. So Shmuel says, okay, I have to take care of the unfinished business here. Bring me Agag, Vayelech Elav Agag Ma'adanos. Agag comes to him, Ma'adanos. We'll translate that in a moment. Vayomer Agag Achein Sar Mar Hamoves. So what's Ma'adanos? Different interpretations in the Mefarshim. Some say he walked with arrogance, that even though he knew he was going to die, but he was walking with his head held high, you know, with arrogance like a king. Some say he was very happy. At this point, he would rather die than live, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Some say it means literally he was in chains. Ma'adanos means he was chained up. And the Malbim, and the Radak also alludes to this, says that, you know, until this time, they were punished, they were torturing Agag by having him do slave work. So, you know, Agag was doing all this slave work, and it was like a real bushin, a real bizayon to him. He was the king, you know, the king of Amalek, and now he's doing this slave work. And to an extent, he said, I would rather die. I would rather die. And that's why he was happy that he was being killed, right? Because why? He says at the end, Sar Mar Hamavis. I, you know, the bitterness, I taste the bitterness of death. The bitterness of death is even better than what I'm experiencing now. I want to die. I'm happy to die. I don't want to be enslaved and be embarrassed like this. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, we'll just run through the last three psukim here to finish up. Vayomer Shmuel, kasher shichla nashim charbecha, kein tishka minashim imecha. You've made other women childless. You've made other women widows by killing their husbands, by killing their children. Your mother is going to be made childless now. Mida keneged mida, because of the things, the terrible things that you did. Vayishasef Shmuel es Agag lifnei Hashem baGilgal. And Shmuel tears Agag apart. The language of Vayishasef is like he tears him apart. He kills him. It sounds like in a very brutal way, as a punishment for all that he did, and all the torture and the murder that he brought upon Klal Yisrael. Pasuk Lamedal, Vayelech Shmuel haRamasa. Shmuel goes back to his hometown to Ramah. Mishaul Allah El Beso Giva Shaul, and Shaul goes back to his home, which was in Giva Shaul. Question exactly what, you know, where that is, but, you know, a place called Giva Shaul. And then finally, Pasuk Lamed Hey, Velo Yosaf Shmuel Liros Es Shaul Ad Yom Moso. Wow. Shmuel never again goes to see Shaul until the day that he dies. Now, the Mitzvah Stavit points out here that we do find Shaul visiting Shmuel still. Shaul, it's not like they're never going to see each other again. Shaul still will see Shmuel, but Shmuel never goes out of his way again to greet Shaul or to see Shaul. Ki hisab el Shmuel el Shaul. Because Shmuel was in mourning. Keep in mind, this was Shmuel's project. Shmuel was the one who anointed him as king. This was the first Melech Yisrael. And it was like it was a complete failure, utter disaster because of Shaul's mistakes. Hashem nicham ki himlich es Shaul al Yisrael. And Hashem regretted, even though we said Hashem doesn't regret, but here it doesn't mean Hashem felt regret, but it just means that Hashem, you know, undid that which he did. He appointed Shaul as the king, and now he undid that because of Shaul's mistakes, because of Shaul's sins. He undid that, and now Shaul will no longer be the king. Now, of course, Shaul is still the king right now. It doesn't mean that he's, you know, no longer the king as of today, but already the decree has been made, and now it's, you know, things are going to start to be put into motion. As Shaul begins to lose his kingdom, and eventually, as we know, David HaMelech will take over as the Melech Yisrael. Okay, thank you all for joining.